So joining us today is our guest speaker from the Gnostic Centre in Wentworth Falls, Blue Mountains, Paul Movsession. Hello, Paul, and welcome back to the show.
Hi, Diana. Thank you. Thanks very much for the opportunity to come back.
Yes, it's our pleasure. So today you're going to be talking to us about the mysteries of incense. So why this topic?
Well, the previous time we were talking, we were discussing about elementals and all the different ways that one could work with the elementals. And in some ways, I think this is a perfect topic to continue a deeper understanding of that, because the elementals, which are plants and minerals and animals, etc., also from that, in the plant and mineral kingdom, we have the possibility then of working another way with the aromas and the smoke and resins from the incense.
Okay, great. So, just to start, quite basic, the most well-known form of incense is the stick variety, and a lot of people may not even know that there's other different types. So could you go through some of the other forms of incense?
Sure. Well, first it's good to define the word incense. When we use the word incense, most people don't realise they're actually talking about frankincense. So the frankincense is shortened to incense and has become almost like the word to describe all of the other types of incense. And in the Gnostic studies, this particular science is known as osmotherapy. It's the science of osmotherapy, meaning that it's to do with smell and the fragrance and so forth. So, yes, you're right. Most people would know stick incense, and we see that where there's some powder that has then been given some kind of agent that will keep the powder together, and then cake that onto a stick, and then the stick is lit, and from there the aroma will waft off. Similar to that, in Asia, you find what are called joss sticks, which are big versions of that. And in Japan, you find where they use the incense without the binding agent, and it's just hardened to form a stick itself. So as you light it, you're just burning the incense without the wood, as in India and places like that. But then from there, you've got compacting that into cones that can be burnt. There's raw uses of the incense, such as smudging, that is done with sage and juniper and things of that sort. You see that particularly in the Native American Indian tradition or the Americas, where they'll have a shell, a feather, and then the smudge itself, the sage, usually a sage, and maybe sometimes mixed with juniper or something else. And you've got all the elements there. So you've got the shell, which is the water, the feather, which is the air. You've got the sage itself, which comes from the earth. And then when it's lit with the fire, you've got the element of fire. Also, you've got woods like Hollywood or San Paolo, which can be burnt directly, or sandalwood. So these can also be burnt. And then from there, you've even got the concentration of these essences into the essential oils, such as, for example, rose. Rose is one of the most expensive essential oils, because you probably need almost like a room full of rose petals to distill just a small amount of that. So it becomes very expensive and difficult to distill, but concentrated, and you only need a very small amount. And even with the oils themselves, they're affected by the region they're grown. So rose grown in Bulgaria with the soil and the water and the environment there would be a very different quality than, say, rose grown in Australia. And then from there, you've got resins. These resins are tapped from the tree, such as frankincense is typically a resin, and it comes out as a thick, gluggy material that hardens. And most of the resins are broken down also into powders, so they can be burnt as well. Now, these are done over a charcoal. So you get a specific type of charcoal that is designed for incense, and you light it. It usually has a self-igniting kind of material, and then you place that on a bowl, maybe a brass brazier or a clay bowl filled with white sand or sea salt, and then you place your incense on top of that, or the powder on top of that burning charcoal, and then from there the incense will start to waft. So that's probably a good breakdown of a lot of the different incense.
Definitely. We could talk just about on that topic. Particularly, I was wondering, is there a preferred form, as in you mentioned stuff with binding agents and stuff without the binding agent, and that may affect the efficacy of the actual, or the effect of the burning of the incense?
Yes, the incense itself is... The range of quality varies dramatically, and so, the cheaper the incense and the more artificial the fragrances in there, those kind of incense you should more or less avoid. The best quality really comes in the resins and the powders that have been harvested correctly. Also, the smudge techniques of those sage and juniper and rue and things like that is also very beautiful. If you were going to the stick incense, I would say the Japanese is probably one of the purest. They really take a lot of attention to the detail and the purity of their incense. But it's, again, a little more expensive than your cheap stick incense.
Yeah, you get what you pay for.
You get what you pay for.
Okay, and why do people burn incense?
Well, this can vary for a variety of reasons. You will find that pretty much everywhere in the world where there is some kind of spiritual tradition or temple, that they burn incense. There's two features you'll find nearly in every sacred space, which is some kind of light, such as a candle or a fire, and the burning of something in the form of incense. So you could use incense for protection, for cleansing, for purifying. You can open up the environment. Your physical dimension can start to change its vibration between this world and the subtler dimension, so connecting us or linking us to the astral space. It can be burned for healing, for perfuming, and even everyone's zodiacal sign is connected to specific types of incense and perfumes that resonate better with their body type.
Okay, so it would be beneficial for someone to burn their own zodiacal sign incense to enhance or to help them in some way?
Yeah, definitely. You could definitely use your particular incense that would be... something that would resonate very well with your zodiacal energies. But at the same time, you could burn the incense that is more appropriate each month as we change the zodiac sign, and you could be doing that to connect with those cosmological forces that are affecting the planet at this time. So that harmonizes again those forces. As they penetrate and enter the earth, they affect our environment. And so burning the particular incense of the time that the stars are most affecting us helps to harmonize those energies.
Okay. So how? What's the mystery behind incense? How does it actually work on us?
Well, you've got several different components that happen. First, of course, you've got the smell component, so the odor and the nose, and this is one of the strongest senses we possess. It connects us directly to the limbic system, which is part of the frontal lobe of the brain, and in there is memories. So when we smell something, you could, for example, remember if you always, as a child, had a particular smell that your grandmother's cooking reminds you of, and then you smell that as an adult, it'll take you back there. You'll see the images, you'll almost feel like you're right back there in the kitchen sitting with grandma while she's baking or something. It's also very powerful that it awakens within us aspects of the consciousness. because these energies, these smells, these plants, we were once connected to these elemental kingdoms. As an essence that progressed through these different dimensions, we also are familiar with these energies. So the smell is one of the most potent ways, let's say. People know this today, and in psychology and sales, they actually use smells to manipulate people's psychology. You'll walk into shops and a certain smell will attract you to buy something. In the UK, they did an amazing research to find a smell that would make you feel like you could trust the car salesman. It's kind of a vanilla-y type of smell that they use. And so immediately when you walk into the car yard, you're trusting the salesman because they're pumping this smell through the auto sales yard. And so we can see that there's that aspect, but there's also healing aspects of it. The smells have a very potent effect on changing the vibration of our etheric body and our astral body, which is the more subtler vehicles that connect us to the endocrine glands and the nervous system of our physical body. So when these beautiful smoke penetrates into our aura, we absorb the aspect of these energies. And we can also work with the actual elemental of the incense itself. So we could do a practice where we burn frankincense, but also invoke the elemental of the olibanum tree and ask that elemental to work through the incense that we're burning. That's another way of connecting with those energies. So it depends. The nature of the elemental and the nature of the incense will have a specific purpose. So, for example, sulfur has a very powerful way of expelling negative energies. It can purge and remove from our environment negative forces that have entered into our space or attached themselves to our subtle body. And gopal, which is a Mayan incense, does a similar thing, as does benzoin. Benzoin is also very powerful in purifying and cleansing the environment. So we can use it in that way, and those energies will have the effect of changing the environment, and those incompatible things can no longer be present there.
Okay. So we might go to our intermission song. So today you've chosen a track from Beethoven's Symphony No. 7. It's the Allegretto. Why this choice of song?
I love Beethoven. We know he's a great master. He's a master of music in the internal world and physically. And this particular piece that he wrote was so revolutionary when it was done at the time that his fellow musicians thought that maybe Beethoven didn't know how to write music because it broke every rule in the book. So it's just a beautiful piece.
Isn't that common that people are appreciated after their time?
That's right.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering about the effect of incense on our our mentality, our mind, and our emotions. You gave the example of you know, the salespeople using aspects of this science to help sell. So, what are the other effects? And maybe with some examples on the different incenses that may affect us in particular ways.
Right. Well, Master Samael tells us, he says there are what are called the five great perfumes, and he combines them to work together. Each of them are used, and each of them have a particular effect. For example, the five are sulfur, aloes wood, frankincense, myrrh, and camphor. And the they can be burnt all together except for the sulfur, or they can be burnt one at a time. So the sulfur, as we said, is a very powerful cleansing, purging, and purifying incense. Aloes wood, which most people think is aloe vera, which is not, but it's connected to that, but it's something a little bit different. But in the world of the aloe, you can see that the energies of that elemental and that incense are strongly connected to the cosmic christic forces. They're connected to the sun, and they are quite powerful in affecting the physicality of life, regulating the human life itself. So they can be used in healing as well. The frankincense is one that we're told has the capacity of opening the door between this world and the subtle world, and invokes and calls the angels, the masters, the elementals. So almost every practice should have frankincense burnt because of that. In actuality, Master Samuel tells us that we should purify our bedroom daily with aromatic substances, purifying our astral body, incensing to attract the masters to help us for our inner work. And frankincense is the chief incense to do that. It attracts the masters, it attracts the beings that can help us. And myrrh is one of these very old, ancient incense. It's a resinous, deep, earthy scent to it. It was traditionally used in ancient Egypt for embalming and for the rites of death. So it is an incense that can help us with the mystical death. It's an incense that can help us with creating an atmosphere that allows us to be capable of learning how to lose everything to gain everything, to lose that false identity to gain our true being. And so myrrh is wonderful to burn in this way. You might remember that frankincense, myrrh, and gold were the three gifts the wise men brought to the baby Jesus. So these two incense are very, very important. And last is camphor. Camphor is burnt to attract positive forces. It attracts success, and has the capacity of when it's burnt, if we have the right intention, then we attract success in our life, esoterically, physically, health-wise, etc. You see in India, they burn almost every incense on top of camphor. It's when they're doing those kind of small little blocks. So camphor is very, very predominant in India. So these are some of them. But there are many, many more. I mean, sage and rue are very powerful to eliminate also negative forces, but also they're very good to burn if there's been an environment of anger and violence. And sometimes that may be the case, you know. We may move into a place where we don't know who was there before us. Maybe there was a lot of domestic violence or something like that, and we can feel something in the air in the place. So burning sage and rue can help purify that that space for us. And rose is another beautiful incense which heals the heart and mends the emotions that have been hurt and damaged, and it helps to bring love back to our heart. So these are some of the beautiful qualities.
Yeah, and I mean, more love is definitely something that Davin was talking about last week, and we could all do with definitely help in that area.
Correct.
It's really great that the incense can work on us on the level of our consciousness. I'm thinking of all those times I've been to church or when I was at school, smelling the frankincense, not really knowing, you know, the effect that it was having, and wondering if anyone else did at the time as well. You mentioned that frankincense was the original incense.
Yes, it's been renowned as, I mean, when we use the word incense, we have shortened the word frankincense because it was such a popular incense. In actuality, it's a little bit of complicated history, not much time to talk about it, but when the Catholic Church came into power, they tried to ban that incense, and there was all sorts of problems until they had to sort of bring it back. And you can see, yes, in the churches, they burn it prolifically. It's really the main incense of all incense.
Okay, so are other traditions that utilize incense, do they Presumably they're doing it for similar purposes, as you mentioned. Something springs to my mind about the Tibetans or the Buddhists lighting the incense to help guide the spirits. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. That's right. So all the traditions use it for similar purposes. They would have, again, various incense that would be more available in their region, and they would use the relative ones that are appropriate for them. As I said, say Gopal, which would have been the Mayan incense that would have been used to purify an environment, whereas in Europe, for example, sulfur is a much more predominant incense that can be used for purging and cleansing. So all of the traditions would have used them for similar reasons, but they would have taken advantage of the ones that were more available to their area, because you have to remember back in those days, the trade routes and things took a long time to get from one place to another, and it wasn't like we could go down to the, you know, to the shop and just buy an incense today.
Hmm. Okay. We've got a couple of minutes left. Do you have any concluding comments or things you'd like to end this talk in?
Well, this was a very big subject that we've synthesized into something that we could talk about. But I guess if I wanted to leave people with something, I would say, please recognize how important it is to use this every day. We often think that we need to clean ourselves by bathing physically and washing our hands, and that's a type of physical hygiene. But we often forget about our energetic hygiene, our mental and emotional states that we drag around, you know, all the preoccupations and worries and hurts and resentments. And so I think every day we should make sure that in some way or another we expose ourselves to these energies, whether they be burnt or essential oils or, something that is just taken in physically and in our environment. And in this way, I think we're going to find that things will change. Our relationships, our health and our mental well-being, as well as the state of consciousness.